So, the last series that we had, Winning the War in Your Mind, how many of you guys have done some of those principles that we talked about? How many of you have put them into practice in your life? If you haven't, man, do it. Again, knowing what to do and not doing it doesn't help you in the slightest bit, right? You can have all the information in the world, and unless you apply it to your life, that's one of the things Aaron and I was talking about earlier. I don't ever want to just give you knowledge from the Word of God. I want to give you knowledge. I don't want it to only be knowledge. I want us to be able to apply that knowledge to our lives, because if not, then we wasted our time, right? You can study and study and study and do all the things that you want to do. You can learn all kinds of stuff, but if you never learn how to apply that in your everyday life and to your life, then it does you or nobody else, anybody else, any good, right? Okay. All right. So one of the statements that I think impacted me the most out of our series last time was not to interpret God through your circumstances, but interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. How many of you know the world, people in general, humanity, looks at the situation and sees God because of the situation instead of seeing the situation because of God? Amen? That's one of the things that we do. And that's one of the points that stuck out the most in my life, I think, was interpreting my circumstances through the goodness of God. And so in doing that, I've told you guys, you know, get in your word, study it, look and see what it is, look and see what the Bible says about God being good. So over the next little bit, man, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take the Word of God, we're going to see the goodness of God according to the Word, and then try and put that into play in our life, right? Because how many of you can't see the world through God's goodness, your circumstances through God's goodness, if you don't know what His goodness is, right? You have to know what you're looking for in order to find it a lot of times. And so that's what we're going to be doing over the next little bit. And one of the characters in the scripture that the Bible talks about even being a man after God's own heart was David, right? If you look at David, if you look what he did, you look at what he said, he had a lot of wisdom, and he understood that God was the source of everything, right? Listen to couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago now, Pastor John, when he talked about the story of David and Goliath, and seeing the truth of the story is not that David couldn't do anything, it's that God can do anything through David. Amen? And that's the source of what happens. And so when we start looking to see the goodness of God, I like looking at David because he saw it and he wrote it down for you and I to have it. Basically, right? If you look at the book of Psalms, the majority of them are accredited to him. And you see, that's what I love about David. You see him being destroyed and devastated, and then the very next moment, thinking about God and him being in control, and it changes everything in his psalm that he reads, right? You see it over and over again. There's usually the word Selah in there, and you'll have that there, and it's like it's a break. It's a point where things completely change, right? And so one of the things I want to do is look at David and one of the things that he said, one of the most important things that he said, and he said in Psalms chapter 34, verse 8, he says this. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Right? Blessed is the man who hides in him. God is good, and it's time for us to stop going off on our own and trying to do our own thing and get in the blessings of God. Right? You guys know, understand, and I'm going to say it again, the thought process of how my umbrella theory about God, right? God's here. He has his umbrella. This is his blessing. I can choose to be in his blessing, or I can choose not to be in his blessing. According to the Word of God, right? There's things that I can do that place me in His blessing. There's things I can do that take me out of His blessing. The Scripture says that a man is I'm gonna paraphrase it here. This is Toby's translation, is taken out by the enemy when he's drawn out by his own lusts and desires, right? So where is he drawn out of? The refuge of God, the blessings of God, the protection of God. How many of you know if you're under the protection of God, nothing can get you? According to the Word of God, right? According to the word of God, if God's for us, who can be against us? If we're in God, in the blessings of God, in the refuge of God, what happens to the enemies that try to attack us, that try to take us out? Their weapons are brought to nothing. And I love, one of them bent a seat. So when John was preaching, I was at home and I was doing my notes. So as soon as I got done, I think I told you all this last week. As soon as I got done, I sent him, like he didn't even step off the stage before I sent him my notes of what I got out of what he said. And they were different than what he said. I didn't send him his notes. He already knew those, right? I sent him the ones that I got out of it. And one of the things that I got out of it is that the weapons of the enemy is going to be used against the enemy. The weapons that the enemy meant to take me out with are going to be used against them. Where do you see that at? I see that in David and Goliath. The sword was used to chop off his head, right? You see that in Daniel, the book of Daniel, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened to the guys that was trying to get them thrown in the fire? They visited the fire, right? What about the lion's den? Them and their whole family got ate, right? So you see the enemy's weapons being used against the enemy when I'm in the blessings and the protection of God. And so what I want us to do is look at the goodness of God. I want us to go through these things, and I want us to taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know about y'all, but I love watching cooking shows. There's this one dude that I love watching. I ain't gonna tell you what it is. If you want to know later, you can come see me. I watch YouTube. One of the days that I was quarantined, I think for 10 hours, I sat on the couch and watched his cooking shows. Episode after episode after, all different kinds of food. Y'all don't judge me. I haven't cooked one of them yet, but I'm about to, right? I'm about to cook a bunch of them. And I was trying to eat healthy, and I was sitting here watching like gumbo and shrimp fettuccine, and it's just crazy. Anyway, but one of the things that you notice about cooking shows, at the end of every cooking show, what do the people that cooked it do? They take a big old bite. And you can see their eyes kind of roll back in their head because they're like, oh, this is amazing, right? And then they're like, y'all have got to taste this, right? That's what David's saying right here. Y'all have got to taste the goodness of God. You've got to taste what he can do, how it makes you feel. Until you taste it, you ain't got no clue what it's like, right? So my wife's next door, so I'm going to tell a story on her. It was me too. So the first time that we ever had sushi, right? We had never had sushi before. And one of her friends from work was telling her how good sushi was and trying to explain it to her. And April had this thought process of what sushi tastes like. And one day, never had it before in her life, she's like, I am craving sushi. I'm like, you've never had sushi. She's like, I know, but I'm craving it right now. I think I know what it tastes like, and I want it. Right? And so we go to this hibachi place in Baton Rouge, and we're there, and it's me and April at this table, you know, where they cook it in front of you, you know what I'm saying? Not Waffle House, one of the Japanese places, right? They cook it in front of you, right? So they're doing all this stuff, and we ordered some sushi. So we're sitting there, and it's me and April and like eight fraternity guys from LSU sitting around the table with us, right? So we get this roll. It's a California roll. I love sushi now. At then, I had never had it either. And so we were trying it, and so we got it. I wasn't expecting the seaweed taste of the sushi, so to me, it was very disgusting the first time I had it. Again, now I love it, and I'll tear it up. April, still not so much. But she puts that thing in her mouth expecting what it tastes like. Was sorely disappointed. She wouldn't spit it out. And she wouldn't swallow it. She's like, I'm like, spit it out. She's like, so she got up and left, and then came back. Right? And y'all have been there before because y'all have done something like that. I promise you. Y'all just thinking back. That's why it's so funny. But what happened is she expected something, and was sorely disappointed. Why? Because she didn't truly know anything about it. So this is the thing. When you taste something that is amazing, you'll come back again and again and again. But the problem is we get an idea or a thought process of what it's supposed to taste like, and then we taste it and we're disappointed because we don't understand it. Amen? So we have a bad situation come in and we say, oh God, you're the one that did this to me. Again, seeing our circumstances or our God through our circumstances instead of seeing God for what he truly is and who he is. Amen? We do that on a regular basis in our lives. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't say y'all. I said we do that, right? We end up having these issues and these problems and seeing things in a different way. David is saying, like my cooking show, once you taste this, you'll never want another one. You know, Jesus said the same thing. He says, once you have this water, you ain't ever going to want water again. Right? That's what he said. He said, once you have this bread that I have, you're not going to want anything else. Once we truly understand and we get in the thought process of leaving ourselves out of it and looking at everything through the goodness of God, everything changes in our life. Everything changes in our life. So what we're going to do, again, we're going to go through, because right now, as Aaron was saying, and as you hear all over, man, the world is according to some, going to hell in a handbasket, right? Y'all know? I don't know where that comes from, but anyway, that's what they say, right? Whoever they is. They say a lot of stuff. But anyway, we look around and we see the issues and the problems. Do you know in Revelations it tells us that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars? And I take that in the thought process of there's going to be things that are true and real that are going to harm and cause damage. And then there's also going to, and y'all don't put any political stuff in this because this ain't nothing political. You hear me? But there's a lot of things that are brought to us and given to us that are not there, right? And again, as Aaron says, it doesn't take away from the things that are there, right? Because there are things that come and attack and destroy our lives, our family, our health, right? And then there's some things where people are like, oh, y'all be scared of this because the sky's falling Chicken Little. You guys see what I'm saying? And sometimes it's hard to discern what the differences are between them. That's why it's so important that we rely on the Holy Spirit and the discernment that he gives to us. So right now, our culture is angry, is confused, and we need to remind them through our lives, through our speech, through what happens, that God is good, regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of what it looks like. Again, God is good all the time. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about it. And as I go down here, I want you to think this thought is, have you tasted and seen the goodness of God for yourself? Because this is one of the things that cannot happen. You cannot see the goodness of God. You might see hints of it, but you'll never understand the goodness of God by seeing it in someone else's life. Right? I can see the goodness of God in my mom and dad's life. I can see it. I can see hints of it. But do you know, I didn't truly understand it until I saw it in my own life. It's amazing to see God move and work in other people's lives, but how many of you know it's a different thing to see him work in your life? Right? It's one thing to understand, and man, people say it all the time, like, God's good, he's going to work through your situation. Well, where's your situation that he worked through? Right? Where's your situation? Like, you're not in the situation I am right now. It's easy to tell me what I need to do in my situation. How many of you can tell everybody else what they need to do? And you're right. Well, what they need to do, right? Every time. But not so much, but every time, right? But I think is why God wants us to share our testimony over and over and over and over and over again so we can see what happens in other people's life and finally get the conclusion that if it can happen to them, it can happen to me. Right? That's why it's so important. It was to say, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Our testimonies are important. Us telling people how good God is in the midst of all our situations are important. Why? Because when they're in a situation, a lot of times it's hard to see God's goodness in their situation because all they see is the situation. All they see is the circumstances. But you have to taste and see it for yourself. When we talk about the goodness of God, again, the first question in the midst of everything that's happening that you hear from people outside of the church or even people in the church is, where is God at in the middle of this situation? Like, why is he not here? He is. Again, we've talked about it time and time again. Your perspective is not looking for him in the midst of this situation. We need to change our perspective. We need to get it into our spirit that he is good all the time. All the time he's good. Psalms chapter 11, verse 7 says, "For the Lord is righteous, and he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face." Right? The people that are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're the ones that are going to see him. The people that are looking for him, those are the ones that are going to find him. He's a good father. He's good to us. Psalms 146, verse 7 through 9 says, "Who executes justice for the oppressed? Who gives food to the hungry? The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin." One of the things I want to say about that word sojourners, like, we don't really understand what that is, but do you know what that is? That's people that are from another place, a foreign land, not from the town, who don't have family, who don't have friends, who don't have anything, who come into this situation, into this place, and God says that his people, his children, are supposed to take care of them. That's what that word is saying, sojourners. That's people who are without anything. He upholds the widow, the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. So one of the things that we see about God, that we need to know about God, is that he is just, that he is sinless, that he is right. That tends to make us wrong a lot of times. I'm just going to tell y'all. That's one of those things that's said without saying. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You can read into that one. It's okay. God is holy. He is merciful. So even though he is just, he's still merciful. He still gives us forgiveness. Even though he won't allow us to continue on in that, right? He says, no, you can't go that way. The scripture says that he disciplines us. He chastises us. Right? Why? Because he loves us. Sometimes we get frustrated and upset because we think God's against us, and he's just trying to say, no, that's not the way you're going to act. You need to change. God is perfect. He's forgiving. He's loving. And this is one of the things that we need to understand, is that he will always be here for us. He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. He'll provide everything he needs. He's our healer, our deliverer. And according to Scripture, he's an ever-present help in our times of need, in our times of trouble. He's there. God is good, even when we don't view him like that. See, when we don't view him like that, it's not that God has changed, it's that our view of him is skewed. There's something wrong with the picture and the way that we are looking at him in that moment. If you've ever thought, God, how could you do that? God, what's going on? It's because you're looking at him in a wrong manner at that time. Because he's always going to be there. He's always going to be good to us. What? I'm going to let you in on a secret. God is not out to get you. If he was, he could, and he would get you, right? He could, and he would, right? But he's not. According to Scripture, he's on our side. Because the Scripture tells us, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Man, I want you to know this one thing. He loves you today. He loves you yesterday. He's still going to love you tomorrow. It doesn't change. That's why he tells this man in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for me. He loves us. And if we start to see him in that light, we'll understand that he is good all the time. That he is good, even when we don't see it as being good. Nobody looks at discipline and says, thank you, I love it. If you do, you're kind of warped. I'm just going to be real, right? Kind of out there a little bit. Nobody likes it. I don't like being I don't like being told I'm wrong. I don't. How many of you like it? Okay, there's nobody. Said no one ever. See, that's where they get that quote from. He's good on the mountaintop. He's good when things are going great, but he's also good in the valley when they're not going good. He is good to us, people. We need to see that. We need to understand that. So, with that foundation, I want to start today with three things that we need to understand that show us his goodness. The first thing is that he allowed us to wake up today and to live another day. He allowed us to get up today. I have an old friend, Edgar, in Louisiana, Mr. Edgar, and he used to say, "Like, how you doing?" He was like, "Any day I'm looking up down at the ground instead of up at the roots, it's a good day, right? Any day that God allowed me to wake up and to get up and to do another day, it's good no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances are." He shows us this by allowing us to get out of bed. Every day that he wakes us up is an example of his goodness. Amen. That's right, baby girl. Psalms chapter 143 says, verse 8 says, "Let me hear in the morning your steadfast love, for I trust in you. Make me know the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." Now that sounds good, but I like the way the Message Bible says it a little bit different. This is what it says. Y'all ready? It says, "If you wake me up each morning with the sound of your loving voice, I'll go to sleep each night trusting in you. Point out the road that I must travel. I'm all ears and eyes before you." God, I'm looking. You woke me up this morning, man. What can I do for you? What can I do? David's saying, "I give myself to you. I trust in you." God's allowing you and I to live another day for a reason. Let me tell you something. The reason is not to life, is not to wake up, eat breakfast, go to work, eat lunch, go home, eat dinner, go to sleep, and repeat. If that's what you're doing, you're doing it wrong, right? If that's what it is all about, that's not it. That's not why God put us here. So we give the enemy a lot of credit for doing stuff that we do ourselves. But I will say this. The enemy is the one who puts that thought into your mind and tries to tell you that it's the right thing. I'm just going to be real. Distractions. Who said that? I like it. Yep, it's all your fault. Distractions. If he can, again, I said it last week, and some people took it the wrong way, but if this hand says this is what's going on, so they can do this. That's what the enemy does. That's what he does. He tries to distract us, and what happens is he tries to make us so busy that we forget about God and what God wants us to do. Okay, let me tell you something. Family is important, okay? If you don't take care of your family, you shouldn't have a ministry. Ooh, it's in there. When it talks about elders, it says that an elder should take care of his family. If he can't take care of his family, how can he take care of the things of God? That's where I get that from. That was a Toby translation of that one, right? So, if you don't take care of the things, those things are important. But if you allow the enemy to put those things in front of God, even your family in front of God and what God has called you to do, how many of you know it's the wrong thing? This is the thing. There's a very fine line between the two. So, moving along quickly. By waking us up another morning, it shows that God is not finished with us and that we still have a mission to fulfill. We still have work to do for him. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." How many of you know God has given you your abilities, your talents to be a good steward so that others can know his grace in their life? How many of us hinder other people seeing God's grace because we refuse to use our gift? Because we get too busy to use our gift. We get too focused on other things to use our gift. So I had this. We listen to music on the way. We go to the beach or we go to SeaWorld or we go to somewhere. Like every week, one day, every Monday, this is my day off. Every Monday we go. Let me say this again. If you need me on a Monday, call me. I'm here still, right? Don't be like, "Well, it's the day off. I'm not going to call him." No. Call me, and then I'll tell you it's my day off. But no, just kidding. I'm here all the time for you guys, okay? But one of the things that we do is we listen to some radio, and there was a song that came on. We do Spotify. There was a song came on that talked about how this dude was the richest man in the cemetery. He's the richest man in the cemetery. And it talked about how he used... how he allowed work and the thought of taking care of his family to override the fact that he needed to be there to be a good steward of his family, right? So what happens is the enemy tries to take things that are good and make them lose our focus on God, and it puts them in a place that it doesn't need to be. Be careful of that. In saying that, don't neglect your family. Don't neglect the people that God's put in your life, even if they're not family. Because how many of you know some people are family, not even family? Just saying. God has given each of us gifts to use to be good stewards of what he's put into our life. We need to look at our focus and what we're doing. And the reason why he allows us to live another day is so that we can use those abilities and talents to show his goodness to people. That's why he allows us to wake up every day. To glorify him. To use the gifts that he's given to us. To break the cycle of wake up, eat breakfast, go to work, eat lunch, go home, eat dinner, go to sleep, repeat. Like a dog chasing their tail. You ever seen a dog chase their tail? They're just like round and round and round. Don't ever catch it. Might almost get it, but not quite. We need to break that. Our gifts and abilities God has given us to help reach other people. That's why he woke you up this morning. Not to come sit here and listen to me. Now, I'm glad you came and sat and listened to me. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. But that's not why he woke you up. He woke you up so that you could look at the people that are sitting next to you and use your gifts, talents, and abilities to make them better. To make them see God. To make them understand that he's the only one that can change them. To share your story, your testimony, so that they can be encouraged in their situation. That's why he's given it to us. It adds up to the value in our life. That's where it talks about storing our treasures in heaven, using our abilities. One of the most meaningful quotes, man, I've ever heard is whatever ability God has given you, that is his gift to you. But what you do with that gift is your gift to him. What I do with the gift he's given me, what I do with it is my gift to him. That's me saying, God, you're more important than me because I'm taking this thing and I'm going to look at other people even in the midst of my situation, even in the midst of my problems, even in the midst of everything, that chaos that I've got going on, I'm still going to look at others. So listen, there's two people, man, still. I went to one man's funeral, and then I talked to his wife just the other day, right? And the whole time while I was calling him in the midst of his situation, I would call him on the phone while he was battling with what he was battling and not doing good health-wise at all. And I would call him, and he would, first thing he would say is, how are you doing? Like, hold up. No. That's my question. You just took my question. I'm saying that to you. You're not supposed to do that to me, right? Do you know what? His wife have COVID. Was at home, quarantine, not doing good. I call up, hey, how are you doing? Like, no, how are you doing? First, we're going to talk about that. Like, wait, you're the one that's at home sick. She's like, we're going to talk about you. How are you doing? Is everything okay? What can I do for you? What can I do? That is the heart of a servant in the midst of their situation, in the midst of their problems, in the midst of their trials, saying, no, it's not about me. What can I do with the gift God's given me to take care of you? God wants us to use our gifts to serve and to bless others. We're the hands and feet of Jesus, right? You've heard that said? Be his hands and feet. Go do what he would do. When you live a life of purpose, it will give you purpose. It will give you a reason for wanting to be up. It will give you a reason for wanting to go. It'll give you the reason for wanting to wake up and say, God, who can I help today? What can I do? God, you woke me up to another day. I want to be your hands and feet. Today's amazing. Let's go do something. What can I do? Instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, it's good morning, Lord. Right? Same situation. I'm still waking up, but my perspective of it is totally different. It's not about me. It's about what can I do? It's a blessing mentality. So, one of the things Aaron and I was talking about this morning, sorry, I said something and we were talking and how many of you know God puts people in your life to encourage you, build you up? You need to be talking to people about what's going on in their life and not just yours, right? When somebody calls you. How many of you ever called somebody or they called you and they told you about all their issues, all their problems, and then they hung up and didn't let you have a word in edgewise? Don't be that guy, okay? Anyway, or that lady, okay? We need to be there for other people. The blessing mentality isn't about the stuff that I get. It's about how I can be a blessing to other people. That's what the blessing mentality is, should be, according to the Word of God, right? You don't have to live another day. You get to live another day. You don't have to talk to these people about what's going on. You get to talk to these people about what God can do in their situation. That's the first way God shows us that he's good to us. He allows us to have another day. Amen? The second way is that he pours by pouring out his favor on us. How many know he doesn't have to do that? He doesn't have to do anything that he's done. He only does it because he loves us. Because he is good. The favor that we receive is a blessing. Psalms chapter 5 verse 12 says, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as a shield." How many of you know a lot of the blessings we get are things that don't happen to us, that we never even knew was coming? Like, well, what did God do for you? Like, I don't really know. He does so much stuff. There's stuff that happens to me, like, don't happen to me because his favor's here. Again. I'm just going to be real with y'all something. There is a thing that we say, a Christianese that we say, that I have never understood. We say, you know, God placed a hedge of protection around them. Like, if I'm having protection, a hedge of bushes is not what I want in front of me. I've never understood that. I'm sorry. But maybe hedges were different back in the day or something. I don't know. But when I want something, it's going to stop some stuff, right? I want, and what we don't understand is the protection of God, the favor of God shields us from so many things we never even know were there. It says, you cover him with favor as a shield, a protection. He pours his favor out on us. We're covered with the righteousness of Christ, y'all. We need to understand that. The supernatural favor of God covers us. We walk in his blessing. And again, like I just said, I'm convinced that we overlook the blessings of God because we don't see what was coming to us, that he took away from us, that he protected. Do you understand that it says that he rebukes the devourer, right, in the Word of God? What does that mean? That means he takes away what he wanted to do. He causes his weapons to be as nothing. We tend to look closer at our problems than our blessing. Let me give you an example. We say we're running low on gas. We're frustrated because we got to go back to the gas pump and it's $3 a gallon. Not even thanking him for the car that we're driving, that he's giving it to us, that's not breaking down, that we're able to go down the road in. We don't want to hear the alarm clock go off at 5 a.m., but we don't thank God for the job that causes us to set the alarm every night so we can get up and go there. Right? We miss all of the blessings that God has for us because we look at them in a negative manner instead of seeing the positive that comes out of those things. Again, it's about perspective. It's about how we see God and what he's done and what he's doing. We complain about all the laundry we have to do, but we don't stop and thank God for the house full of family that makes all that laundry. What would you do if you didn't have that house? I don't want to do all this laundry. Are you glad you got the family? Well, I don't want my family to go nowhere. Well, they need clothes, y'all. Please cover them up. You know what I'm saying? But thank God that I have the family, that they're healthy. Man, you don't know. My family's sick. Thank God that he's the healer, that we can reach out to him, that we can talk to him. And even if he doesn't heal him in the way that we want him to, he brings healing to his people. You know what? Sometimes, and it took me a minute, and I hate thinking this way, but do you know what ultimate healing is? Is to stand in front of him where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more problems. But that's not the kind of healing we want. We want God. We don't want that kind of healing. We want the healing where you leave him here, right? We want temporary healing so that they can go to the next thing that's going to come and get them. Because, never mind, I'm just going to stop. We don't thank him for the household of family that we have that creates all that laundry. Right? We're seeing the situation from the wrong view, the wrong perspective. We need to understand that his favor covers us, that his blessings are all around us in our lives, and we have to look at them to see them. One of the things that I hear people say is, well, they're so lucky, or it's luck, or this happened, or that's so lucky that this happened. Man, it's not luck. It's the favor of God in our lives. It's not luck that I walked away from a car crash in 1988. It was the favor of God, right, that allows me to stand here today, right? And people, you'll say, well, so what happened, y'all, just quick. Lack of a bit, being just, y'all want total transparency or you want me to cover some stuff up? I passed out on the way home from Orlando, 5:30 in the morning, ran head on into a tractor trailer, flipped my truck 5 times, and ended up upside down with this foot caught in between the dash, the roof, and the ground, right? They came to my truck, they walked past it, 45 minutes I was in there before they heard me holler out and say, hey, y'all gonna get me out of here or what, right? If you start going down 44 going out, you know where they got that new feed store? And then right past that, Rapture Air has a sign on the side of the road. You know where that sign is with that chain link fence? Right there is where I got in my accident in 1998. Plate and 6 screws, pin and screw in my foot. Shouldn't be alive. It wasn't luck that brought me out of that. It was the favor and the blessing of God. Okay? There's so many things, and I can be frustrated because, I love that old Ford, y'all. I loved it. It was a 76. It was jacked up. Beautiful, right? I loved it. I still send Shane pictures of like, hey, look, here's what this looks like, my old Ford, Shane. He's like, yes, it does, but this is so cool, right? So anyway, sorry. That's into me and Shane's relationship there a little bit, y'all. Anyway, there's a lot of things I can be upset and frustrated and mad about that have happened in my life and totally miss the good things God brought out of those situations. I can be frustrated about the girlfriend that he didn't let me marry when I was in high school. Or I can be thankful for the wife and beautiful wife and children that I have because he didn't answer that prayer. See, we miss so many of the blessings of God, the favor of God in our life, because we look at it in the wrong perspective. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't accidental. It was intentional. It wasn't the luck of God. It was the favor of God. Favor is all around us, and we just have to look for it. So one of the stories that I heard from my pastor in Louisiana was about a farmer, and he had a little donkey that worked on his farm. How many of you like farmers and donkeys? I like them, so we're going to talk about them for a minute. It was a very hard worker, and the farmer really liked him because he did what he was supposed to do and took care of stuff, and it was kind of like more of a pet than it was some of you guys know what I'm talking about, how that works out. One day, while the donkey was hard at work, he fell in a deep pit that the farmer had been digging to make a well, to start a well, right? And the donkey cried and cried, and the farmer frantically tried to figure out a way to get the donkey out. It was in a deep hole. Both the sides were really, really steep and unstable, so they couldn't lower something down or tie a rope or do anything. And the donkey was panicking and thrashing about, and the farmer had additional concern about his farmhands being hindered when he put them down there because the donkey was doing what he was doing. You know, sometimes when you try to help an animal, it ends up hurting you more than it does helping, right? So anyway, he finally, with a heavy heart, man, he decided the best thing to do was just to cover the donkey over and kind of put it out of his misery quick, right? So he started with a shovel and he started throwing it out there. Well, the dirt fell down on the back of the donkey. Donkey like, man, there's dirt. And he kind of shook it off and then kind of stopped on top of it. And the farmer kept doing it. Donkey kept shaking it off and stepping on top. So he started thinking, he's like, man, this donkey's knocking everything off and stepping on. What if I feel the hole back in? And he just shakes it off and it ends up coming out of the hole. That's what he called all his friends. They all came over and they started shoveling in, and before too long the donkey just walked out of the hole. Why? Because they had filled it all in. What would have happened if the donkey would have been like, oh, well, this is where I'm at. This is my lot in life. I'm just going to stay here and be covered up. But he didn't. What did he do? He shook off everything that was being thrown at him and he stepped on top of it. He said, ain't nothing, God is for me, who's going to be against me, right? I'm sure the donkey didn't have that thought. I'm just sharing. That's for you guys. You're the donkey in the story, okay? So what happens if all these things get shoveled on top of you and you shake them off and step on them, shaking off and step on them, and before too long, you're going to be out of that place. Why? Because you're not going to allow the circumstances, the weight of the circumstances to crush you. You're going to use them to make you stronger, to bring you out of these things. It's about our perspective. We need to look and find the favor of God. Amen? We need to look around and see, God, these are the blessings. This thing, even though I see it as a hindrance right now, I don't want dirt on my back, but I see it as a hindrance, but I'm going to shake it off and stand on it. Before too long, these hindrances have made me into who God wants me to be. We might miss that blessing. One of the things that you hear people say in the midst of situations is, well, like, how are you doing? You know, you call somebody up, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. How are you today? Well, under the circumstances, I'm not bad. Well, under the circumstances, let me tell you something. God doesn't want you under the circumstances. He doesn't want you to be there. Scripture says that he will that cause you to rise with wings of eagles, right? He wants you to come above the situations, above the circumstances, above the things. I don't know about y'all, but I've been on an airplane before. So April and I went to Missouri to hang out for a minute. I think it was for my grandma's funeral. And we were about to fly out of the place. And there was a really, really, really bad storm. Like, I'm talking about bad storm. So much so, you know, when you sit at an airport and you sit here and all the windows are glass so you can see everything that's happening, right? So we're sitting there, and this is a bad storm. They cancel our flight delay our flight for a while. The cart, you know, the buggies that them guys drive with all the luggage things behind it, is rolling like this across the tarmac, right? Rolling across the thing, and you're like, ah, okay, I'm glad we're not flying in that. And then it closes off a little bit later, and they're like, okay, it's still raining, it's still kind of storming, but it's okay for us to take off now. I'm like, I get that, but this storm is going southeast, and I'm going southeast. So. I'm going to be flying right through the storm. You just wouldn't let me take off in because it was too dangerous and the thing was rolling down a thing. And I don't want to go right now. But they're like, no, it's time to go right now. But why do I tell this story? This is what ended up happening. We took off and it was crazy. It was crazy. But do you know what ended up happening with the plane? The plane came up and went above the cloud bank that was holding the storm. And we were able to look down and see the storm. See the lightning and the craziness that was going on. Why? Because we were above the storm. Do you know God wants to bring you above all of the storms that are in your life? Do you know he doesn't want you to go through them? He doesn't want you to sit in there and be like, well, I can't do nothing because of the storm under the circumstances. Well, get above the circumstances. Get above them. How do I do that, man? I come to him. How do I do that? I shake the circumstances off and say, God, you're good in the midst of this. I don't know what you're doing, but you're going to use it to build me. He allows his favor. He pours his favor out on us. Psalms 103, 2 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget all of the things that God does for you. Don't forget all of the blessings he has for you. I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about everything that he gives to you. Look, I'm not discrediting the money either. How many of you know he provides that too? Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So you can rise above the storm. You can rise above the situation. You don't have to be caught in it. I'm not going to forget his goodness. You know what? In the middle of my situation, remember, I told y'all, you need to write it down. You need to speak it. You need to confess it until you believe it. This is one of the things. I'm not going to forget the goodness of God in my situation. I'm not going to forget the goodness of God while I'm going through these things. You know the most important time to say it? When you're in the middle of those things. I'm not going to forget his goodness. This is what the Word of God says about me. This is what the Word of God says that God is going to do for me. You know one of the best places for you to go to find that? Go to Psalms, man. David just did it over and over and over and over again about how God took him out of situation, how God's going to, you see him broke down too, be like, God, I can't do this. I'm all by myself. I'm alone. How is all this happening? And then the perspective changes. Why? Because he looks for the goodness of God. He looks for the favor of God. He fills my life with good things. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to trust him. That's what David said. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to trust him to bring me out of it. I'm not going to complain about what's going on. I'm going to see his favor in my life. I'm going to look for his blessings. I'm going to allow myself to find the favor of God that is like a shield in my life. Amen? Three ways how God shows us every day that he's good to us. He allows us to live another day. He pours out his favor on us. And the last one, this is one of the things that I love the most. And I've got time, so I'm just going to go slow. Y'all ready? Adopting us as sons and daughters. He brings us into the family and says, you are mine. Nothing else. You're not good enough. I'm just going to be real. Like my pastor said, I wasn't good enough. Well, you're not. I'm not either. None of us are. Scripture says that. It says everybody messes up. Everybody falls down. Everybody's short of the glory of God. Not height. Glory of God. Miss Minnie. This is what happens. We get brought into the family. Not only does God want us to have a relationship with us, but he wants to take it to a whole new level. He wants to call us family. How many of you, like I said earlier, have people in your life that aren't born into your family, but they're your family? Right? They're not blood relatives, but they're family to me. I got a friend back home in Louisiana. Man, me and him, we've known each other. I just went back for his wedding. Me and him, sometimes like oil and water. There was a time in our 20 years that we've known each other, we wanted to kill each other every time we saw each other. Couldn't stand each other. But do you know what the scripture says about those things? That when two men sit down and they allow God to take care of the issues, their relationship will end up being stronger than it ever was before. Do you know what? I'd do anything for him. He's my family. He's not blood. He's my family. Right? That's what God does to you and to me. Right? He allows us to be called the sons and daughters. This is God speaking to us in 2 Corinthians 6:18. He says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Then in John 1:12 says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We have the right to be called the sons and daughters of God. We have the right to be called his family. We need to understand, being a part of God's family gives us access to so many things we never even knew were possible. Gives us access to what his word says that he's going to do for his children. When we read in the Old Testament about how he's going to protect, how he's going to take care of, how he has provision, how he has a land of promise, how all these things happen, and how he's going to bless those that bless us and curse those that curse them. All those principles, all those promises that are given to his children, the Jews at the time, are given to you and I because we have the right, according to the scripture, to be called his children. And everything that the Father has, he gives to his children. One of the things about my dad, like I told y'all, man, my dad is one of the most godly men I know. He's probably the most godly man I know, but it's one of those situations. When I've said this before, and y'all guys know about my time. I'm very transparent about my past. But when my dad, I said it last week in the message too, I think. When my dad brought me home from the Navy, where I was discharged for drugs, he said, I love you, you can come to my home, but the drugs can't come. Y'all remember me telling you that story before? He said, you can come, but that's not welcome. If you want to keep those, it's okay. You can stay away, but you can't come in my house. But if you're ready to let go of those things and you want to be a part of my family, I want you to come home. Do you know what happened at that moment? Anything that belonged to my father, it was like that already, but he's allowing me to understand and to know. Everything that belonged to my father, I have access to. I want to borrow his weed ear. Like, Dad, can I borrow your weed ear? He's like, yep, just bring it back. Right? Dad, my car broke. Can I use your car? Yep, just bring it back. Right? Everything that belongs to my father, there's nothing that he would hold back from me. My earthly father, there's nothing he would hold back from me. If he has it, he's going to give it to me. Dad, I need a shirt to go. Here, take this one. Right? That's what my father would do. If we understand that according to the word of God, that if our earthly father, who is evil, who is bad, who is not good, who falls short of the glory of God, treats me in a good way, how much more where my heavenly father, who has no bad in him, who has no evil, who has no issues, who is holy, who is pure, who is righteous, who is just, how much more will he give to me and to you? Understand. I'm a squirrel for a minute. Tobias, I'm coming at you. Right? Part of the reason why people have so much of a problem with their identity and who they are, it's because they refuse to put God in the right place. And how can you understand who you are without knowing the God that made you? I don't know my identity because I refuse the one who gave it to me. So, understanding who God is, his goodness, that we are his children, is everything if you ever want to figure out who you are. Everything. So, in saying that, let's put off all the things that have been given to us. Let's start from this moment here and start new. Start afresh. Put down the baggage that has been in our past. Do you know what? Good or bad, whatever you did yesterday is done. Ain't no reason to crow about it. Ain't no reason to cry about it. You understand? It doesn't matter anymore. It's over. From this moment forward is what matters. You're not happy about what you're doing? You don't understand, or you're not sure that you're in the family of Jesus Christ, the family of God? You're not sure you've accepted him? Right now is the time to do it. Right now is to take advantage of the goodness of God, where he said, I love you even though you're so messed up. You're so dirty. I don't even want to be around you, but I'm going to make a way that you can be clean. You can come into my presence. You can come in and be a part of my family. Look, I'm gonna hurt y'all right now. Some of y'all are holding off on some people that God wants to be a part of the family, and you're holding resentment, and you're holding frustration, you're holding anger at them. Do you know what? He died for their dirt too. He died for their forgiveness too. You need to let it go. You need to say, God, help me love that person. Help me. Help me. I was in a situation the other day. Somebody was like, man, I'm so sorry that you get frustrated about that thing, about that person, about what happens. I'm so sorry about that. And do you know what my response was? Well, yeah, thank you, man. And then do you know what hit me, bro, like dead in the teeth, kind of wrecked my day, was that's exactly the person that God died for. Maybe he's here all the time just to straighten you out. Oh, that, like my stomach too hurt. And it was just teeth. I didn't want to smile for a week. Right? We need to understand that we are called the sons and daughters of the living God, who is good to us. And this is what I want you to do. You say, I tried it before. I tasted it before. It didn't work for me. I'm going to tell y'all something about me. We have food pantry. And we get cabbage a lot of times. And one time, there was a lady, Miss Yuna. Stop laughing at me, Miss Yuna. I hate cabbage. Like, I don't like cabbage. I tried cabbage when I was a kid. I don't like cabbage. Miss Yuna said, I'm going to make you some cabbage. I'm like, I don't like cabbage. She's like, you will like my cabbage. I'm like, Miss Yuna, I will let you make me some cabbage, and I will taste it. But please, please don't be offended when I spit it out, because I don't like cabbage. So, it had been probably 30 years since I had cabbage. I don't like cabbage. I know I don't like cabbage. She made me some cabbage, y'all. I will stab my daughter with a fork if she comes to try and get some of that cabbage right now, y'all. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying? I'll be like, get away from this. This is my cabbage. And I will fight for that bowl of cabbage right now. I don't like cabbage. Do you know sometimes we've tried some things and we've tried to come to Christ and we've tried to do these things and it didn't work out, or we didn't think it was right, or whatever happened. I want you to do this for me today. I want you to do what the Word of God says. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to look for his goodness. I want you to look for the opportunity. I want you to come into the family and see that this is where you belong. That's what I want. How do you do that? It's really difficult. You got to jump through a bunch of hoops and jump up and down, spin around. Mm-mm. It's a free gift. I mean, if you want to jump up, down, spin around, you're more than welcome to, you know. I mean, it ain't going to stop you. David said he got really excited and he was dancing about the goodness of God. They were like, you're undignified. He's like, about to get even worse. Keep watching, right? That's Toby's translation. You like me now? You're going to love it in a minute, baby, right? Anyway, so that's my thought process. But this is the thing. Let's give him the opportunity. You say, well, man, I don't understand. He can't. It's not for me. It's not there. You don't understand what I've done. Look, this is what Isaiah 1, 18 and 19 says. It says, come now, let us reason together. So come sit down, let us talk about it, right? He says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. All you got to do is come. All you got to do is come. Be a part of the family. He's going to take away all the issues, all the problems, all your past. Now, let me tell you something. You're still going to have some circumstances. You're going to still have some consequences because of the actions that you have done. Right? We've talked about that before. I'm still going to face some earthly consequences for the dumb stuff that I've done. But God has forgiven me, and he's allowed me to have a fresh start right this minute. He wants you to have it too, man. I want you to have it. I want you to have it. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I always say a prayer. Why? Because the scripture says you confess with your heart, you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, then you'll be saved. So what I want us to do right now, I want us to, believing in your heart's all up on you. Confessing with your mouth is on you too. And that's why I say a prayer. That's why we say, hey, let's repeat this after me. It's not the magic words, or it's not a certain thing you have to say in order for God to love you. It can be as much as, God, I need help. I accept you. Accept your gift. I like to say a little more than that. Why? Because I want myself to understand that all I bring to this situation is my failure, my sin, my issues, and that he gives me life. And life more abundantly. He gives me access to him. You want that today? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. The things that I wanted to do. I give you my life now. I accept the gift. I want you to change me from the inside out. Holy Spirit, renew my mind. Allow me to see the goodness of God and to walk in it. Allow me to see the favor of God and walk in it. Allow my perspective to change and see you in everything. Allow me to enjoy your freedom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God is good to us. This is, and all the time, God is good. Sometimes I say that, and I don't mean for y'all to say that, but then you say it, and so I have to say the rest of it. And so then sometimes I mean to say it, and y'all don't say it, and then I feel bad. And you know, it's just all kind of crazy. But this is what I want you to do. I know I'm dumb sometimes. This is what I want y'all to do. I want you guys to go out these doors looking for the goodness of God. And I want you guys to invite people to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to be that guy right now that just took a bite and is going out and be like, look, y'all got to try this. You need to cook it at home. Follow my ingredients instructions, right? What is that ingredients? Look to God because he's good. And he provides everything that we need. Amen? Stand to your feet.